Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
As you'll know, Molly and Thomas Martins have been sentenced by a US court to 20 to 25 years in prison for the murder of Irishman Jason Corbett. One of the key pieces of evidence was testimony from bloodstain pattern analyst Stuart James. Stuart, good afternoon to you.
Good morning to me, but good afternoon to you, sir.
Could you describe for us what it is you do, what your job is, Stuart?
Well, my job as a bloodstain pattern analyst is to use the scientific principles of biology, chemistry, physics, and mathematics to reconstruct, using bloodstain pattern analysis, the sequence of events that take place at scenes where blood has been shed.
And so is that, if you like, looking at scenes or looking at photographs at scenes and saying what blood is likely to do if it drops down or shoots out sideways, that kind of thing?
Well, whether we use scene photographs, which I did in this case because the event occurred long before I was involved in the case, so the scene was really of no value to me. So I had to rely upon the documentation, I should say photographs, of the scene itself that was taken by the Sheriff's Department in Davidson County. And what we do, we classify bloodstains into various categories, and then we use that information based on a lot of experimentation that I have done throughout my career and also with my teaching to draw conclusions as to what the significance of the stains are.
Presumably you've had to go through a series of qualifications. This seems to be come from various parts of science to make this a whole, if you like, a whole area of expertise.
Yes, in other words, the whole theory and background and basis for bloodstain pattern analysis is, again, it's biology, chemistry, physics, and mathematics. And we utilize, you know, those types of scientific principles when we make our assessment of the case.
I should also add
that in bloodstain pattern analysis, we're part of a team. In other words, we have to rely upon forensic pathology, that is the autopsy results and the types of injuries that are described by the pathologist. We need the serology done, that is, you know, blood testing and DNA analysis, and all these different forensic specialties have to come into play as a team to arrive at the most reliable conclusions.
And so, is the way you work that you're brought to the scene, or you study photographs, and then from that you conclude this is what we think happened, or are you given the story perhaps of the accused and asked, well, does this tally with the photographs?
Well, that's the ultimate issue later on. In the course of my working up a case, I don't look at a statement given by a witness or a suspect until I've arrived at my conclusions and what I think are the best conclusions. And then, of course, I think another important aspect of this is to have your conclusions and your report peer-reviewed, which I did in this case. I had two other qualified bloodstain pattern analysts, you know, reviewing the photographs and my reports to make sure that we all concurred as to the reliability of the conclusions. And then we start, you know, with the help of the district attorney, we compare these to what statements that were made.
Right, because I suppose the defendants both said they'd carried out CPR, but there was no blood on their hands at all.
Correct, and then, as I recall, it was not. I guess Mr. Martin couldn't recall if he washed his hands or not, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there were inconsistent statements made, you know, along those lines.
So would you have been aware of that initially, or was that sort of something that would have been introduced to you later on?
I would have found out about that later on. I would make my conclusions, and then it's compared to what either Molly Corbett or Mr. Martins, Thomas Martins, had either said or had given a statement.
So I suppose at the start, what you were looking at was that how and when Jason Corbett died and what that process was.
And the circumstances of the whole event. In other words, I fully believe that in order to prevent any bias in my conclusions, that bloodstain analysts, myself, we prefer to look at the statements later on, so we're not influenced by them throughout our process of reconstruction.
Right. Okay. And was this death, was it, given the vast number of cases that you've covered over the course of your career, was this a particularly tricky one to establish, or did it seem fairly straightforward to you?
Well, I think let me put it this way. Every case is different to start with, but this case, the sequence of events was not difficult to process. I think the major issue was the complexity of the multitude of patterns.
Which would imply different objects had been used, I assume.
Well, in order to reproduce the movement or the sequence of the movement of Mr. Corbett, we could only, you know, do that to a certain point. We know that he was near the bedroom door. We know that he was in the bathroom, et cetera. And we know, we were able to determine that the successive blows were inflicted, you know, close to the, I guess, the north wall of the, I should say, the south wall of the master bedroom. Mm-hmm. And they were very evident by those large patterns.
Is it just always the blood you're looking at? Because, say, for instance, again, in this case, there was, you know, there was a series of indentations in a wall, which presumably was a key piece of evidence, too.
Oh, yes. Well, those, in my PowerPoint presentation that I gave to the jury, I did circle those areas of impact. And it was notable that at least one of them was very close to the floor, near to where the body of Mr. Corbett was found, which would indicate that the target was close to the floor.
Mm. Now, I don't know if it's probably slightly outside what you were looking at. How long does it take for blood to congeal? Because that the when the paramedics arrived, they commented that the body was rather cool and that the blood had congealed when they arrived. Is there an average, or does that depend on conditions or heat or whatever?
Well, the coagulation of blood is somewhat subject to variability. It depends on whether someone is taking, anticoagulants that will cause the blood not to clot so quickly, which may or may not have been the case here. I don't know what Mr. Corbett's medical history was there in that regard. But, I mean, generally speaking, anywhere between, you can between 3 and 15 minutes can start to observe clotting, and that's a general range that we give, but it's certainly subject to variability.
Mm.
Okay, and I think it was also notable that I believe the paramedics had said that the blood on the face was dry, and that, you know, that's another issue that doesn't take that long to occur.
Yeah, is it difficult for you when you're working on cases? You're obviously just looking at the evidence there, and you're describing what you think happened, and to kind of, if you like, put a line between that and coming to conclusions as to the guilt or innocence of the people on trial.
Well, you see, that the guilt or innocence is not part of my investigative work. In other words, I can put the case together, but I'm not the person or the expert who will say that this is, let's say, for example, agitated or excessive force, or whether any type of a struggle may have taken place, as was alluded to by the defendants. I just have to give my scientific interpretation.
Mm. How do you put these? Because for people listening, this could sound like a rather grim job. How do you, kind of, when you're finished a case, when you're finished looking at photographs, is it difficult to get those images out of your head and think about perhaps things that are a bit more positive in life?
Well, I try to be positive as much as I can. I mean, I've been doing this work for approximately 40 years now, but I think the type of case that bothers me the most is when there are children involved as victims.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a little hard to deal with, but, we try to take, as scientists, the scientific approach. you know, to these cases and, you know, and get by with that.
Stuart, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Bloodstain Pattern Analyst Stuart James.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.